This sermon was preached in St. Paul's Church in Athens on Trinity 18, October the 3rd, the day before the feast of St. Francis of Assisi. And later on this day, we are having a pet blessing service as well. Francis was born in Assisi in central Italy, either in 1181 or the following year. He was baptized Giovanni, but given the name Francesco by his father, a cloth merchant who traded in France and had married a French wife. There was an expectation that Francis would eventually take over his father's business, but he had a rebellious youth and a difficult relationship with his father. After suffering the ignominy of imprisonment following capture whilst at war with the local city of Perugia, he returned a changed man. He took to caring for disused churches and for the poor, particularly those suffering from leprosy. Whilst praying in the semi-derelict church of St. Damian, he distinctly heard the words, "Go and repair my church, which you see is falling down." Others joined him, and he prepared a simple gospel-based rule for them all to live by. As the order grew, it witnessed to Christ through preaching the gospel of repentance, emphasizing the poverty of Christ as an example for his followers. 2 years before his death, his life being so closely linked with that of his crucified Saviour, he received the stigmata, the marks of the wounds of Christ on his body. At his death on the evening of the 3rd of October 2026, his order had spread throughout Western Christendom. The life of St. Francis was the subject of a very dramatic film directed by Franco Zeffirelli. One scene is particularly effective. An aristocratic friend of Francis has gained permission for Francis to be received at the papal court at the Lateran Palace. His purpose is to ask the Pope's permission to start a small community of men to live a simple life close to nature and committed to sharing in the poverty of the poorest of Italian rural society. Francis enters the audience chamber with a well-written Latin petition prepared for Francis by his learned friend. Both sides of the chamber are banked up with ranks of abbots and bishops, canon lawyers, archbishops, and other senior clergy, a panoply of plutocratic personnel who direct and control the Roman Church. Francis kneels in their midst, his text in hand. In front of him, seated on a throne at least a dozen steps higher than everyone else, is seated the Bishop of Rome, the Pope. Above his head is rested the tricorona, the three-levelled crown that is the sign that he is superior to all other clergy and even the kings of the nations. In the film, it is the great acting legend Sir Alec Guinness who plays the part of Pope Innocent III. The chamber is silent. Episcopal eyes stare intently from below their damasked mitres at the man in humble clothes kneeling in their midst. Slowly, Francis unrolls the scroll in which his text has been diplomatically drafted. He begins to read the Latin text, but he falters after just a few words. These words are not natural to Francis. They don't express his passion or his vision for a community life focused on the poor and the praise of God's creation. He rolls up the scroll and begins to say, "Look at the birds in the air. They neither sow nor..." Bedlam breaks out in the benches of the prelates. Official papers fly in the air. Loud shouting is accompanied by finger-pointing and accusation. "How dare this man quote the gospel to the vicar of Christ?" Latin guards drag Francis from the chamber. Calm is restored, and the ranks of senior clergy look towards the papal throne once again. Pope Innocent III is standing, arm raised, but not in anger. The forefinger of his right hand points upwards, directing attention to what is above him. In the narthex of the ceiling, many, many metres above him, is a mosaic. A mosaic of Christ, the ruler of all. His hand raised in blessing the entirety of the cosmos. Innocent is reminding them all why they are there, who they are, and what they represent. Francis is found and brought back into the chamber, and he presents not a text, but a personal plea to live a life acknowledged by the Church, a life of simplicity, poverty, and chastity. Since then, the life and the work of Franciscan friars has been testimony to the original vision of Francis being in harmony with heaven and earth. Most high, all powerful, all good Lord, all praise is yours, all glory, all honour, and all blessings. To you alone, most high, do they belong, and no mortal lips are worthy to pronounce your name. Praised be you, my Lord, with all your creatures, especially brother Son, who is the day through whom you give us light. And he is beautiful and radiant with great splendour. Of you, Most High, he bears the likeness. Praised be you, my Lord, through Sister Moon and the stars. In the heavens you have made them bright, precious, and fair. Praised be you, my Lord, through brothers Wind and Air, and fair and stormy, all weather's moods, by which you cherish all that you have made. Praised be you, my Lord, through Sister Water, so useful, humble, precious, and pure. Praised be you, my Lord, through Brother Fire, through whom you light the night, and he is beautiful and playful and robust and strong. Praised be you, my Lord, through our Sister, Mother Earth, who sustains and governs us, producing varied fruits with coloured flowers and herbs. Praised be you, my Lord, through those who grant pardon for love of you and bear sickness and trial. Blessed are those who endure in peace. By you, Most High, they will be crowned. Praised be you, my Lord, through Sister Death, from whom no one living can escape. Woe to those who die in mortal sin. Blessed are they she finds doing your will. No second death can do them harm. Praise and bless my Lord and give him thanks and serve him with great humility. These are the words of the canticle of Brother Sun, Sister Moon of St. Francis of Assisi. So we celebrate the feast of Francis of Assisi and his vision of faith in harmony with God's total creation. It's a vision deeply needed in our own day. In many ways, Francis could be the patron saint of COP26 in Glasgow this November. Those of us who have faith might pray deeply these next few weeks, along with, I'm sure, St. Francis, that those who gather in Glasgow will be blessed with the same vision of creation. Amen.